Did you update this week or last week?
This week.
Okay. We'll
Like
see.
since our last episode.
Because your audio came in like slightly hot last week. And I don't want to fix anything. It's not worth fixing. I mean, of course, the listener will recognize how hot you are. But that's just because that's Schwartz. That's Schwartz.
That's
He's
who
hot.
I am. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just hot. So, anyways, there's that. That's all. So a little housekeeping for the listener. A little look behind the scenes. Never look behind the scenes. That's the takeaway here.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 563 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Is it 563? Hold on. Yeah, it is. Okay. Whew.
Close
one. Issue there. Yeah. I've just dodged a bullet. Yeah. What's going on in Vancouver, Adam?
Oh, Thanksgiving. There was Thanksgiving.
I meant to bring that up, like, because last week our show went out on Thanksgiving, Canadian Thanksgiving, formerly Columbus Day, I think, right?
In America, sure. Yeah.
I don't think it's Columbus Day anymore.
No, I don't think we do that here in the Canadian part of the world.
Okay, what'd you do for Thanksgiving?
We had turkey. Yeah,
of course. Yeah,
and a hockey tournament. That's Thanksgiving seems to be. One of those sports tournament weekends, although last year everything was canceled, but this year it is all resumed. So there was, you know, depending on what sport you're involved with, in our case, hockey for this season, hockey tournaments everywhere. So we were lucky that our tournament was local. It was in our neck of the woods, so we didn't have to travel too far. What do you mean? Richmond?
Where was it? Was it in Richmond?
Yeah.
Well, you said our neck of the woods. I mean, it could be Delta.
Sorry.
Delta's
Richmond.
Close.
No. No, it was in Richmond, so it was very close. So we
Could be Marpole.
We ended up playing 6 games in 4 days. So the tournament went from Friday to Monday, and we played 6 games. We went to the finals, and we lost pretty badly in the finals. We got beat pretty good, 7-1 by an excellent team. It was not that, you know, we just had a really bad game. It was that they were really good.
Well, being good solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, it was a team from Kamloops, and they were they were excellent. So it was a good run to get to the finals. We won a couple of tight games in the quarterfinals and semifinals, and got to the finals after going 0-3 in the round robin. We made it to the finals. That's what happened.
Tournament right there.
We went 0-3, and then it was like a bracket where because there was only 8 teams, like you made it to the quarterfinals even if you were last in your pool, which we were. So you cross over and had to play the number one team in the other side, and then we beat the number
one
team.
But you were in the same bracket as the team who beat you in the final.
Yeah. Yeah, so
there you go.
But you know what? The other teams on that side that beat us were also very good. The other side was still pretty good. We did win two close games, but it didn't have the super team that beat us in the final, right?
So,
yeah. So
that's the hometown draw you got right there.
Well, yeah, it just means that you take a lot of beatings in the early going. But so we made it to the final only to lose. But I did take. Lots of photos over the course of those few days. And I did my thing where I think there's 17 kids on our team. I probably got 7 or 8 shots of each kid over the course of 3 games that I took photos, and then gave everybody in Dropbox, like, you know, like here's pictures of your kids. So everyone
did
was
you
really,
do like one Dropbox for everybody, or did you?
Yeah, one Dropbox for everyone. But then I alphabetized it, of course. So I named every photo by the kid, and then you could just go to your, you know, 8 players and or 8 pictures of your kid and download it.
Yeah,
and
but
then
see,
you also
the
got
is-
the chance to see everyone else's too.
Yeah, okay, you like that, that's great, but I over here, I don't know, the Germans, I guess, are different. They don't go in for that. they you got to have like a different link for each kid. And there's like a whole, and it's like, okay, I'm just not doing that then. You get no pictures.
Yeah. I don't like here. That's never been an issue. I mean, I've done this now many times for different teams that Jack's played on, and that's never an issue. People are just thrilled that they're like, wow, you're giving me all these nice photos for free. That's right there. That's all that, because people haven't had this before. A lot of the kids that we're playing with this year, we've not played with in the past. So parents are quite happy about just, hey, these some cool photos, and it's you're not asking for anything. So
nice. Yeah. That's always a great way to make new friends.
I did some through the glass, and then I did get permission to go into the penalty box for a couple games. So it was fun. Photos that I put a couple of photos, just game action, because I didn't ask permission to post for a podcast. I just put a couple of pictures of Jack that I took through the glass with the R6, just because I didn't want to show the ones from without shooting through the glass, because last time I posted photos, they were through the glass. So I feel like it's an unfair comparison if you take photos that aren't through the glass. So the two that I have in there of Jack were photos that were taken through the glass.
Nice. So I'm 6 games in 4 days. All I'm hearing is, hey, Dad, I'm playing in wet hockey gear.
Well, we've got one of those super dryer things. Like,
of course you do. Well, of course you do.
It may not be the thing you're talking about. Well, like, it's a skates dryer and gloves dryer that you just get from like Mark's Work Warehouse or whatever, insert whatever your place is. And so that dries the skates and the gloves. And then just a big kind of like rack that has like hanging things for everything else.
Hockey tree.
Yeah, the hockey tree. So we have one of those, the hockey tree. And then so everything does dry. There's only 2 days where we had to play double headers, and everything does dry. It's mostly skates and gloves that have the hardest time. So if you have one of those superpower blower things, it dries pretty
gloves hard. You can get by like skates are the big ones. I hate going into wet skates because that's when you get blisters, but gloves are like, all right, for the first shift it's no fun, but then you're okay. You're starting to sweat, it's fine again, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's like when I'm at baseball and the guy, there's no helmets, and the guy just comes in, scores a run, and gives me his helmet. Like, it's only his sweat for the first 10 seconds that I'm wearing, and then I'm like, okay, it's probably my sweat now.
Yeah, sure, that sounds reasonable. Yeah,
I just kind of power through that. Yeah, so there you go. But the other question is, and I've never figured this out, because I mean, first of all, for you to go out and play 6 games in 4 days probably wouldn't be, you know, easy at your advanced age. But realistic, forget. But that aside, could you go play 4 games or 6 games in 4 days with a belly full of turkey?
Well, the turkey didn't come until the night before the last day. And I don't think,
hence the loss.
I don't think the kids probably eat turkey the way you and I eat turkey.
Through a straw?
No, I just mean in quantity. Like, it's just a normal meal to them. They have a couple pieces of turkey. Would be no different if it was any other night in terms of a meal. Right. I think you and I look at Thanksgiving Day as, let's gorge ourselves to the point where we can't, you know, get off the sofa for 6 or 7 hours. That's not what kids do, though.
Or it's not the turkey, though. It's, spoiler alert, it's the stuffing. That's what gets you.
Okay. Either way, still just kind of a normal meal to Jack, and I'm sure most of his friends.
All right. Yeah, we didn't even do Thanksgiving here. Normally we do it. We do pierogies and cabbage rolls, but it just didn't work out. We had something else going on or something like that. So skipped Thanksgiving this year.
That's unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. Patreon. If you want to help us out, go to our site, click on the Patreon link, and commit a couple of bucks a month. That's what helps keep this witty repartee. Is that what I'm looking for?
That's what you usually say. I think you invented
that
word.
I don't think I've ever said that word in my life.
Yeah, you've said it.
Rapport. Repartee.
No, I think it's the partee. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
think it's the party one. It's the party one. Yeah.
Yeah. You should go back. You're going to have to go back through all the 562 previous episodes and find where I said it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That's your homework for the week.
I'm doing it right now.
Also, Amazon. You still do that. I bought some stuff. But you know what I bought on Amazon, Adam? Oh, you're going to love this.
What?
Cabinet hinges.
Oh, those are my favorite.
Exciting, right? The so-called European hinges over here, they're just called hinges because this is Europe, but it's like the hidden ones in the.
Sure.
I think that's what you have in your kitchen, right?
Probably.
The hinges are on the inside of the cupboard.
They sure are.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't show me. I saw pictures of your kitchen, but not the inside.
Yeah, they. You know, another thing. I don't know if you're doing this or not with your installations. Is one of the things I love is the drawers, like the slam proof. You know, like the
soft close,
whatever it is. Like, yeah. I love it. That's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah,
especially with children who tend to have a tendency to close things very, very hard.
Yeah, that was probably about 40% of your entire budget was spent on those drawer slides, by the way.
I love them. Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah,
no, I'm doing amazing. The same. Like, I'm in my build, which the video will be up soon, of my mudroom build. I'm building a kitchen quality in my mudroom because I want to build a kitchen. That's the plan. I want to build my kitchen eventually, but I want to figure out how to do it because I don't know how to do it. And so I'm going to learn in my mudroom. But I'm going to install those hinges. Those drawer slides.
Okay, yeah.
The exact ones you're talking about, they are the best. They're not cheap.
One of those things that, again, file it under that list of things that you didn't have that you now can never live without.
My wife would be the same. Yeah. She's never had them before, but it's once the entire house has them, she'll be thrilled. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So her new husband will love them too. She'll be like, all right, I'm done with this guy. Just dropped $8,000 on drawer slides for the house. But I count them up in your house. How many sets you have? I don't know what they are in Canada. I'll be surprised if they're under $50 a pair.
Okay. I'll try to count. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, get back to me on what you spend. And like I said, worth every penny.
Yeah, I absolutely love them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that and the other thing that I highly recommend, which I am installing new electrical sockets, outlets. I install ones with the USB thing built in now.
Okay.
Because I love that. Just love that.
Sure.
I just love going to a hotel and you're like, oh man, they got the USB built right in. I can charge right here. Okay, just me. All right. Hey, I went. I took my daughter the other day. My son had drum lessons. What do you call it when you learn to play the drums? Drum class, right?
Sure. Is it other people? Are there other people there as well?
Just the teacher. It's
yeah. I think it's not a class. It'd be called a drum lesson. Yeah, drum lesson.
Okay. All right. Rockstar school. You went to Rockstar school?
Sure.
So we took him, and then, but while he was there, my daughter and I walked into town, got some, went for some ice cream.
Okay.
Ice cream. You like ice cream?
Yeah.
So I went into, I get ice cream, the place we always go, the old town, like it's like the old half timber houses, the cobblestone streets. It's like a little ice cream shop that we always go to. It's right out of a fairy tale, Adam.
Okay.
And so you walk up, and it's a little bit different now. They have a little bit different. So you walk up. You don't go in and just get your ice cream. You go up. They have a QR code on the outside window that you scan and then follow the link on your phone, and you submit your order of what ice cream cone you want. And then when it's ready, they call you, and you come and pick it up. And when you're done, you turn and walk over to the massive touchscreen computer, enter what you bought, and then pay with your card, and then you will leave.
Hmm.
You know. Romantic ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Question for you. Are we making this too complicated?
Yeah, we are. I mean, I understand, and then I don't understand, because there's, like you say, there's wild inconsistencies within that story in terms of what you might deem safe practice, right? So on one hand...
I don't think this is a COVID thing. I think it's a, hey, we have tech... because. There's nothing safe about everybody sharing the same touchscreen.
Right, right. But I do think that the QR code to not have menus and things like that, that is becoming a thing. I don't know if it was instigated with COVID, or if it's just like, hey, now we don't have to print menus or whatever, right? Yeah. Like you just, you
like stop menus, but all right.
Yeah. But it stops some of the handling, and maybe you have a couple of menus in the restaurant. We went to a restaurant not too long ago where there were no menus and it was just scan the QR code at the table. And then you had your menu right. on your phone. So that's the thing. I know that if you wanted one, cause I could see within the restaurant, a menu does exist. You could ask for one, a hard okay. copy, and they would bring it to you. So, but I do think this is kind of like maybe the new world order, because Germany and Canada are far apart and we're both seeing this in real time.
Well, as I announced to the nice young lady working there, I shan't be back. Here's how this goes. You have ice cream. I want ice cream. I have money. You want money. This should be really simple. Like honestly, very simple. And I don't think this is about the paying. I think this is about, hey, we have technology now, so let's make our life simpler. More simple, probably the better English. This is not simple. This is not simple. Is it?
Okay. I'm not going to argue that it's simple. I just mm-hmm. think that some of the pieces of that puzzle might be simple, but when assembled all together, it de-simplifies it.
Yeah. It wasn't broken. It was the ice cream shops were not broken.
Right.
You get in and ask me what kind of ice cream I get every time.
What kind?
Vanilla. Always vanilla.
Really?
Yes, I'm a big vanilla. Well, they do it right over here. I'm not sure over here. Like a fancy, when you, it's not even expensive. Like ice cream is cheap here. Ice cream is a massive thing here in Germany, by the way. I don't like, honestly, I'm not even joking you. It's, it went up. Like it's wicked expensive here now from what it used to be. It used to be like $1 or $1.10 for a ice cream cone. Now it's $1.80, which everyone's up in arms about, of course.
Okay.
But, like there's multiple ice cream shops in Tübingen, and then 1 year, 5 years ago, they all went from $1.20 to $1.50, and the mayor had to get involved and assure everybody that price fixing of ice cream would not be tolerated.
Okay,
that's the world we live in over here. That's where we're hill at. People. Yeah. So that's the level of discourse is that. So, anyways, just saying, keep it simple. I'll bring money. I'll even. You know, we'll get two of them. It'll be 360, me and my daughter, and I'll give you $4 and we'll just walk away. There you go. You take that 40 cents and you spend it somewhere good. That's what I'm telling you.
But the cash part of this is probably going to go away. I think that's what they're sort of yes. leaning towards, right?
Yes. Yes. They would like cash to disappear 1,000%.
Right.
Not because of what you think, because no. they think that people will no longer buy drugs. And no one will steal and no one will do anything. If there's no cash, then no illegal things will happen anymore. I'm not even joking.
There's some sense to that.
Yeah. I nature finds a way, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 At first it yeah. might make it a little more complicated, but I can understand the thinking behind that anyways.
Yeah, we'll have to pay for our human trafficking with other humans. That's all.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Yeah, why'd you make it dark, Adam? Don't make it dark. All right, reminder, monthly challenge this month is change. Oh, speaking of there you go. Ironic, isn't it? There'll be no change. You pay what you get with your card and walk.
Okay.
I'm going to take a picture of the ice cream shop now. For mine. My.
Sorry, I was okay. yawning.
Yeah, let's try. No kidding. Let's get this show kickstarted. All right. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better, do both of those and tag us hey hosers on the Instagram. And we'll check that out at the end of the month. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting? Yes, you did. I wanted to hang on to that. And for this segment, what you have two pictures here from hockey through the glass. Yep,
through the
hard
glass.
To tell how is that through the glass? That looks good.
Looks pretty good, yeah. Yeah, through the glass. The end.
No, it's not the end. I went and looked, man. You shot these at ISO 6400 and... Oh, your challenge one's 8000. These yeah. are both at ISO 6400. Mm-hmm. And they look a little grainy, man. No, just kidding. They look awesome.
Tough. I mean, like, yeah. Tough. So it's interesting, like, some of the photos... And I don't know, I don't understand enough about digital grain to know why. Like when I was on the bench shooting photos, some of them have like, so all shot at the same settings. I guess the proximity to the camera makes the biggest difference. Is that true?
That would make sense. Sure.
So what I find is, you know, when you're shooting on these high ISO settings, so I did a lot of shooting from the bench at ISO 8000. I could have got away with 6400 and just a slightly slower shutter speed. But what I did on the bench was shoot, because they're kind of coming back and forth past you when you're shooting from the middle of the ice. It's a little different than when they're coming towards you, which you can have a slightly slower shutter speed, I find. But when they're moving across, I find that I need to have a faster shutter speed. And so anyways, when they're really close to the camera, I find the least digital noise. Obviously, the further away from you they are, I don't know, obviously, but it seems as though the further away from you they are, the more grainy they are in their faces. And maybe that's because it's, I don't know, can you make sense of this, the science behind why it's grainier when they're further away from you?
Well, you would, I mean, just on my guess would be like you are essentially assigning fewer pixels to, like, say you're taking a head to toe picture of Jack.
Right.
And he's in close, filling the frame. You're assigning more pixels to him than if he is further away. So, like, if he's further away, he's smaller in the picture.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense then. So, what I did find is when I'm shooting these action shots of the kids from the bench, I tend to, like, now know when it's worthy of taking a photo. And so, if they're coming right at me and going to be close, those are the photos I shoot. And then when you actually pixel peep and go in, you're like, oh my God, like these are incredible in terms of the detail and the lack of noise. But if you have to, you know, take them sort of, you know, across on the other side of the ice and then you have to crop to it, you're kind of like, that's no better than my previous camera. Which again, I guess it's all relative. If I had taken the exact same photo with the 6D and then cropped it, it wouldn't even be usable. So what I do find is like there's a very, very much a sweet spot as to where I found my keepers were, and they're all as the players are very close to the camera, especially shooting at an ISO of an 8,000. Very little difference I did find though than between 6,400 and 8,000. Like the 8,000 was just as good in almost every scenario. So that's where I found that I was like, there's a huge difference between 3,200 and 6,400. And then almost nothing between 6,400 and 8,000. So I was like, all right.
But for 8,000 shots like this, especially when you're downsizing for Instagram, that's when you sort of quote unquote gain or lose noise at that point.
Yes, I mean, right.
In theory.
Right. You're not seeing enough of those pixels, right? So
this is excellent.
And again, when I look at those photos quickly, I almost think like there is no glass there. Like you can't see glass there. Like I'm standing in the corner.
No, I would not have thought there was glass there.
Yeah, I'm standing in the corner of the rink and shooting up. Now again, any angle, so you depending on what part of the rink you're in, you have to be like basically at just shooting head on, right? Like, so if you're shooting at any angle to the glass, then obviously then you get some reflection and it changes the contrast. And so there is definitely a sort of a part where it's like, all right, what photos am I going to get from this angle that I'm shooting kind of in the corner? I shoot in this direction and that's it. So they have to kind of come into the frame. I also did find that for the servo mode of focus, which is incredible on this camera, by the way, I just use the single point. Like single point and you're good to go. It misses never. And so wherever you point it, that's what's going to be in focus.
Like you're riding it with your thumb on the LCD screen?
Yes. Yes. So I'm just, not with my thumb on the LCD screen. I'm basically just, for the most part, picking a center point, and then I'm just, when they come in, I'm just holding the servo focus and just shooting.
I see.
Yeah. So another thing, just unrelated to this, but just while we're talking about that R6, the video is insane at focusing. Like, so for, again, the 6D, that's not a thing. Like it's autofocus tracking and just, it doesn't do it. And it doesn't, like you can try, but it's not happening. This thing, when you focus with video and track, you don't even have to hold the thing down. You just point the dot, wherever that dot is, you just move the camera around and it just focuses. And the other thing you'd probably really like, or maybe not like, because you want to control all your transitions, when it transitions, so if I focus on something far away and then I move it to focus on something closer. It's just such a sweet transition that looks like it just looks like how it's supposed to be. Like, it's not too fast, it's not too slow. It's just nice moving in and out of focus in real time without you needing to even press the button. It's just point, aim it. So kind of like a phone in that mode of just servo tracking focus. It's beautiful. So for someone like me who doesn't want to make feature film movies, but just wants quick clips or home movies to look good, could not be happier with how that thing tracks focus and transitions.
So you're saying
focus.
like for example, like you'll have like say a coffee mug right on the table in front of you, and then in the back will be your wife, and then you'll be focused on the coffee mug, and then the focus will shift in the distance to your wife.
Perfectly how it looks to me on TV. Yeah.
Now, for the people listening at home, so there's no confusion, a transition is like when you go from one shot to another, like an edit. So then you add a dissolve to it or something like that. What Adam is describing is called a rack focus.
Okay.
And I've heard that the rack focus ability on these new cameras is outstanding.
Again, to the naked eye who doesn't know anything, I'm like, that's what it looks like on TV.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's not a complicated process. It's actually a very simple process involving multiple people. Like, if you want to do that in Hollywood, there's someone whose job that is, the focus puller. Someone who all they do is, like, the cameraman does not focus. That's the joke. He points the camera, and there's a focus puller who makes sure everything is in focus. So now, if we can do that digitally, and do it well, like you said, that is pretty awesome.
So
I do like to control those things. Like when I do rack focus, like I usually use my cinema lenses and I'll mark the one and the two and then do that. And then hopefully nail it. Like you don't want to miss, but shooting by yourself, that's a pretty handy thing to have. Now, have you shot any selfie video?
No.
I need you to shoot a little bit and tell me how that goes. Like, just no, honestly, because this is a purchase I might be looking at.
Okay, selfie video—that's my specialty.
Just to walk, like, just basically you walk forward, walk back, see how the focus tracks you.
Talking about buying cameras and R6s. Now, a couple of listeners through Instagram have already said, "Hey, welcome to the club." Like, there's already been two or three different listeners that have said, oh, I have this as well, and you know, for this and that, and everyone for the most part, my summary would be, my Coles Notes version would be, everyone likes this camera. It is expensive. That's the one knock, is this is an expensive purchase. And
I know it's a lot of money.
Okay.
But like, you go back and like, historically speaking, it's like you just got a Ferrari. So it really is. Yes, it's not cheap. It's not $18. That's for sure.
Right.
But considering what you have in your hand, it is, you ripped off Canon. Think of it
sure.
that way.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm not joking. Like you compare like the camera I shot when I first went to film school. Digital video was just happening. Digital. Just DV video. So that was not HD. That was recording to digital videotapes. And it was a 640 by 480 resolution. So do the math on what is that for? That's 0.3 megapixels, 300,000 pixels. Okay. That's what it was. And like and the image was not great, and you couldn't change the lenses, and everything was in focus. There was no depth of field. Like it was not great. And those Sony VX1000s were probably $7,000 each, maybe $6,000. I'm not sure in Canada. I forget how much it was exactly. But prices call around $6,500 for that camera as is. No lens changing, nothing.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah. You're doing okay.
I ripped you off, Canon. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just don't want to be... with listeners like flipping about money, like it's still a lot of money. So that's yep. that's what I'm saying, because you know, everyone's situation is different in terms of hobbyist versus somebody who's doing it for money, which I do it for money occasionally, but very occasionally, right. I would still just consider myself like a hobbyist photographer. So for the hobbyist photographer, this fits into the like, all right, pricey, right? Would you not it agree is, with it, that? Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, like for sure. Like there's a reason I don't have three of them in my house.
Right.
Like there's a reason I very much want one of these. I very much, in fact, I will be on that. I very much need one of these. Hopefully moving forward, you know, things are, I'll do a little, I haven't worked as much as I have in the past. Obviously this year has been, you know, been strange, et cetera. I'd need one of these, but I still haven't pulled the trigger on one because they are a lot of money. And, what I'm saying is the camera that you're getting right now, it's around $3,500 for the camera in Canada, right? Something like that.
Yeah, maybe there was a rebate. It was a few hundred less, but yeah, that's a fair ballpark. Yeah,
but what, $3,500 with the adapter, let's say.
Okay, sure.
So something like that. So you're going to drop $3,500, or if you just want the kit lens or something, it's like $3,800, whatever it was, $3,600.
Yeah.
Whatever, $3,500. The camera you're getting is a $15,000 camera minimum. For what the value you're getting is, it's way beyond that. Now, that doesn't mean you need to go spend $3,500.
Right.
Like you can get it. You can get a really great camera for $500 now.
Yeah. And for a lot of people still probably make money with that $500 camera. Mm-hmm. Right. So yes. Yeah, it depends on what you're going to do with it. And yeah, I don't, you know, think that, you know, everyone necessarily needs it. It is a pretty awesome, piece of technology and I'm enjoying it so far. My goal is I will do enough photography work in the next 2 years to pay it off. And then I'll be happy. I'm like, I would like to pay for it with photography work. I have a few things that I will do in the next year that hopefully will pay it off, and then I'll feel like I deserve it. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Of course, at least offset the cost or something like that. But like if you prorate the photos that you'll get between now and then, you know, you're coming in at less. You're definitely coming in at less than $1 a photo. And
sure.
So think about what it used to cost to take a photo, get it processed, and get it printed was about $1 a photo. So you're good to go.
Yeah. And I think that when it comes to, you know, hopefully the people listening to this are sort of passionate photographers. Otherwise, you're really wasting your time.
To
sort through this mess. But the way I look at it, too, is that this is my one main hobby outside of work. And so it's the source of a lot of kind of my happiness, my joy. And therefore, I'm at a point in my life where that's important, like that you have that thing outside of your other things. You know, I've got family, I've got work, and then I've got photography stuff. So yeah. It's something that price tag to me is worth it. And that might not be the case for everyone who is just a very, very casual photographer and just loves the witty banner. And that's why you're listening. Then maybe don't buy this, right?
Yes, do not. But here's the other thing though. Like for the listeners who, like some of the listeners, like, for them, $3,500 is nothing. And
true, buy it. Buy three.
No. Buy me one. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
If $3,500 is nothing to you, I'll send you my address. You can ship one over. And we'll mention your name on the show. We'll call it even. Okay.
Sure. Well, we call it a shout out. Yeah, shout out.
Get the shout out. All
just like Peloton. Just like Peloton. Yeah.
I'll be honest. Give me an R5. I'm gonna go up big time. I'm gonna go big time on it.
All right.
So there's that. All right. My son had his last baseball. He had an exhibition game, just kind of cap off the weird baseball season. So they had a doubleheader but for some reason had a full 2 hour practice beforehand with full on field batting practice, which made for a kind of a long day.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful and sunny, and I actually got the worst sunburn of the year in October. So no sunburn really, but I definitely felt the sun watching him the entire day. So I did snap a photo of him playing, taking batting practice.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
It's with the 70-200 that remember I told you it works, doesn't work, then here and there. I figured out when it doesn't work.
Okay,
at 200.
Okay.
It focuses perfectly at 198.
Hmm.
So don't go there. Don't go all the way to Bucknat. Don't go all the way to 200. Just stop short. That's the one I dropped in front of CRJ there.
Yeah. Carly Rae.
Yeah. Yeah. She said, call me never.
I didn't know we were abbreviating her. She's that famous.
I think she is CRJ, actually.
No way. Yeah. No.
If I enter CRJ into Google, I'll bet you it comes up.
Okay, let's see.
Waiting. Tom Hanks was in her video. Like that, she's big time. CRJ, let's see what comes up. Yep, the Bombardier CRJ airplane. How far down do we go? Yeah, it's not there. Okay. CRJ artist. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, then it comes up. Carly Rae Jepsen.
If you go CRJ artist, come on.
Yeah, at the bottom, it does suggest it.
When you Google search share, do you go share artist or Madonna artist? No.
No. Do you think Madonna will come up if I Google Madonna, or will it be like a painting? Nah, it's the singer. Damn it.
This is the special Google episode where we see what comes up.
Okay. Yeah. That's our Christmas show this year.
Okay.
That's where we're just going to just Google stuff, random Google searches. Anyways, that's the one I dropped. So it's now a 70 to 198 zoom lens. That's what that is. Okay.
Still pretty good.
Still decent for how high it bounced off of a steel floor. Okay. So don't do that. All right. Photo challenge, 105 mils. Now, I picked this on purpose, and it's going to lead into our topic, which we'll keep short because we went long. You have the 24 to 105. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you don't have the old one. You never owned it when you had the 6D.
No, never owned it.
Because I think it was an option for a kit lens you could upgrade when you bought the 6D. I think that was the kit lens, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I can't remember the reason why I didn't buy it when it was the kit lens, but
snobbery.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't buy it back then. I don't think at that point you didn't own it yet. So I don't think you had a recommendation one way or the other. But either way, I never bought it. So this is my first 24 to 105 version. And it's different because it's an RF lens. So it's built for the new cameras, right? The mirrorless Sony cameras.
Real fast. RF is real fast.
And it's, I think, again, it's meant, a lot of it is meant for video, for the video capabilities. And then on top of that, it's a variable, what are they called? Variable aperture lens?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because like the original 24.
Google VAF and see what comes up.
The original 24 to 105 was an F4 all the way through the 24 right. to 105 range. This one is at the 24 end is an F4, and at the 105 end is a 7.1. So, I mean, again, it's not the, if you want the F4 all the way through the range with the for that lens, for the RF, it's like, I think it starts at $1,500. I think that's about.
Are they still designating those lenses with the L?
I believe so. Yes. I think it does have an L on it. So that lens is very expensive in Canada, and definitely for what I was wanting was not justified to me. I wanted just like, hey, I'll use this sometimes. And I could see it being great for playing around with the video capabilities when I don't need the fast aperture. So I thought, fast shutter speed. So I thought, this will be fun to play around with as a video lens. And then I can see what it'll do. And it was an additional, I want to say on the kit, it was an additional $300. So to me, it was like, yeah, I'm spending this already, $300. Like, I'm not going to sweat that. So I bought it. And I've just, like I say, that was the first, when I did the challenge, this is the first time I've used that lens. So I just, I just played around. I did a few video things with it. And then I took a few snaps when the players were close to the glass.
And? Let's look at your photo. Now we get the bat. Wow, that's a lot of stickers on there, on the helmet.
A lot of stickers. Oh, yeah, because they have a lot of warning safety stickers and all that. So yeah. I chose this photo. It was an after goal celebration there right near the net. And I said I didn't have permission. I should have just asked people for permission. I chose a photo where the only face you can see is Jack. So they are kind of, again, they do the thing in hockey, like they do in most sports after they scores, they get together and kind of like, you know, maul each other. And so I like the smiling face. I like the, the clarity. This is F7. Now, again, I slowed the shutter speed down because at F7, I was not going to, it was either that or crank the ISO to like a million. So I thought, okay, well, where is it going to be good at F7? About ISO, I think it's ISO 8000. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And then 3/20th of a second. Okay. Yeah. So that's where I found like, okay, I'm going to get a good exposure here. Now I'm going to wait for something that seems appropriate for that shutter speed. So they scored down at the end where I was standing and I just snapped it. And there you go. I like the big smiling. The best thing about after goals, and every kid's face looks like Jack's does in this photo, is just the big kind of smile and grin as they kind of come together. So Jack was on the point. He's a defenseman. So he came in late. So he's a little bit of an outsider here. He's like, oh, I want to get in on this. I want to get in on this this dog pile. So
it's too late.
It's too late. You missed it, kid. Yeah, you got to get in here quicker. Yeah. So
you better score next time.
There you go. So just smiling faces and a dog pile. But again, pretty good clarity for through the glass ISO 8000.
And okay, and 105. What do you think of the 105 focal length? Is that something that you could do? I mean, because typically you take, you know, a portrait picture, you're using 85 mils. Could you imagine using the 105?
Definitely. Yeah. And even at F7, like look at the nice background blur, even on this lens, that's not an F4. I'm like, it really goes out of focus nicely. I actually read an article about, when I was deciding, do I get the kit lens or not? I just kind of did a quick comparison look between the new lens, the RF lens, and the F4 lens. And it's amazing how similar it looks even at F7 versus F4 with the same focal lengths. Like it really, and the quality of the bokeh, very, very similar. So I don't know optically how that could be, but it is amazing how similar those lenses behave even with the focal, like it does seem to be universally loved, this lens, especially at the price point that it is, this variable aperture 24-105. Mm-hmm. So people seem to really like it, including a couple listeners that have it as well, that have reached out and like just said how much they liked it. Well, so two different people. So I have very limited use with it so far, but I just look at this photo at F7 and go, yeah, that's pretty good for what it can do.
So I went with a portrait on the 105, which I haven't shot much of. I've shot with the 105 a ton lately. The 24-105, sorry, not all at 105, but I've been using it a lot for video, which is why I bought it in the first place, pretty much exclusively for video. It's kind of the perfect lens for run and gun stuff that I do. And anyways, but so I shot, there's a portrait of my son at 105.
Okay.
Going to work on the face lessons again. See, he doesn't care, but I like this focal length, actually.
Sure. Yeah.
And these are the ones, like how often are you shooting this? Like how often do you want to shoot a portrait at, you know, that you're lighting at F2?
Not very often. No. Almost not at all. Especially if I'm using the 85 at F2, like nothing is in focus, or maybe an eyelash is in focus. Like it's just, you're going to miss probably, or you're going to get what you targeted on and everything else is out of focus. So usually at the 85 mil, usually you're not, I'm not personally usually going below F5.6.
Right. I typically start at F4, but try to come in at 5.6, or if I'm indoors, like if I have, like I'm lighting it and I have a nice background, like even if I want it, you know, out of focus like this is just a corner. It's like, this is one light, by the way. Okay. A hard light too. I wanted to do a hard light because I never light portraits with a hard light. So this is a single speed light, which you can tell by the catch light in his eyes.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it just falls off. And that's two white walls going into a corner in behind him, which kind of gives that cool little gray look.
Yeah.
And that's it. Kept it simple. Now this was the savior page. This was the backup photo because I hesitated to even include it but then I was like, you know what? Sometimes you gotta take your lumps, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So originally I was like, you know what? I have not taken I've not updated my profile picture in about a year. So I was like, maybe I should do a new profile picture. So I'll combine it. I'll combine this week's challenge with that. And so I took a couple of basic shots of myself, and then I took one that I thought would be just goofy, like on purpose goofy.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, can we say douchebag? D-bag? Yeah. I would sure. say
you just
I was
did.
Going, yeah, I was going for full D-bag. And unfortunately, I don't think I achieved full D-bag, which is a problem.
No, you did. Yeah.
No, I disagree. I disagree. I think this is worse. This is worse than that.
Okay.
I think I'll go ahead and you give me your opinion first of this. So, of the shot of me, of course. What are you seeing here?
I see full D-bag. That's what I see.
I disagree. I disagree. So I took the shot.
Explain the photo first for the listeners who are just like, okay. What are they talking about?
No, they can
about?
See it. Well, I love these. I happen to love the pictures of that they shoot for the little interstitial things or the promos for Saturday Night Live. Whoever does those pictures historically has done a great job. They're fun and usually kind of D-baggy, but they're still fun. So I was going to copy one of those. I was like, yeah, let's do something like that. But so here I am grabbing my head in some kind of a weird fashion. And my problem with it, and here's why I say it is not full D-bag, and that's the problem, is it looks like I'm trying too hard to not be a jerk.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel like this says jerk all over it, yeah.
No. This says jerk, but this says...
Oh, but it's like authentic. I'm not in this on is, it. Yeah. No, this is authentic for sure.
That's You're what right. I'm saying. You're right. I've gone halfway.
Don't just put it out there on the internet. That's what I say. Don't qualify it. Don't let's just see what people
I understand.
Have to
no,
say.
I understand. I understand. Like that's why I was hesitant to even show it. Cause I put it in the Dropbox and I pulled it out and I was like, nah, take your lumps, Al. Because I was like, because you'll be like, yeah, no, put it out there. It'd be great.
It's great. And, yeah.
Yeah. So there are people who love it. No, it looks fine. Like, no, it doesn't look fine at all. This looks like what an eight-year-old kid would do. And, it's as if I think I should be on Saturday Night Live, which I actually probably should be, but Kim
I feel as though there's going to be at least one comment. When are you going to be on Saturday Night Live?
My mom doesn't have Instagram.
Were you on Saturday Night Live? Question mark.
Yes. Right. Okay. And the only person saying that would be Massive Head Wound Harry. So
you know, the internet's a wild place, man. Someone's going to say it. Yeah. Someone's going to look for the episode. Someone's going to look for there's going to be on someone's computer a Google search that when was Attridge on Saturday Night Live?
The musical guest was a CRJ. It was an all Vancouver episode. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying is like, it's just halfway. Like I tried to steal second base while keeping my foot on first and pulled my groin. That's what happened here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why I did. This is not my
wait, entry, wait. I got it. This is this year's Christmas present to all of your friends autographed.
Oh, maybe
this is yeah. Like this is your photo for this year because you do this thing right where you take a douchey photo. Yeah, this or at least for someone's birthday. Someone's getting this for their birthday.
You're not wrong. But the one I've showed you. I never posted the one from the last one I did because it was definitely like there was no question that it was full D bag. Like it was full on. Like there was no half. It was 110%. And so there was no question of what I was going for. Some people still didn't get it, but it was so bad. I was like, I can't even put this on the internet. I'll never be prime minister if that happens.
Yeah. Did you have a firefighter helmet on?
Had I had access to one, I would have. Actually, I can probably get one now. I will get. I should have had a firefighter hat on. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, good times. All right. Let the beating commence. So. There you go. All right, a couple questions about the topic now. I want to talk to you a little bit more about the 24-105. So the topic is, are we going back to Zoom? That's the topic. Now, you've shot with Zoom lenses in the past. You have a couple. Mm-hmm. One that you use more frequently than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Same with me. It's the aforementioned 70 to 198 millimeter Zoom lens that I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never considered that a true Zoom lens, though.
Okay.
Even though it does technically zoom, the focal length does change, but I've always sort of, in an odd way, considered it kind of a variable prime in that it doesn't zoom that much.
Okay.
Like, do you consider going from 70 to 200? Like, it's all at the long end. It's all telephoto, the entire lens.
Sure. Again, for me, like, that is a great sports lens. And I think that's probably where the majority of people use it is like, oh, if you're shooting sports, if you're going to stand on the sideline of something, soccer, baseball, football, hockey, you want one of those because you can get action at all over the field. And, you know, 70 millimeters when they're far away isn't ideal, but 200 gets you something. And then certainly when they're moving around, like I just like to have the wiggle room, depending on if I want more players in the shot or if I want to, you know, get just zone in on one person. Like the 70 to 200 is kind of perfect as that sideline camera lens.
It is, but when you think of zoom lens, like if someone says to you, hey man, I want to get a zoom lens, like to me that says, I want to go to Disneyland and be able to shoot everything and also own a kite. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I want to shoot every single thing with this one lens, like close-ups. I want to go 200. I want to be at 18 mils. I want all of it in the zoom lens. Like, that's what zoom lens means to me.
Okay.
So I've never considered that one. Now, that's why I never wanted the 24 to 105, because I always felt like you can't be all things to all people, you know. But I ended up picking it up for video. Now that you have one, do you think you'll use the zoom more often?
That particular lens, do you mean?
Yes.
Yes, I do. I do think I will use it because if I have any intention of doing video, like you said, it's a perfect range to kind of get almost anything. It's a really, really nice happy medium, which is all my other lenses being either primes. I guess you just zoom with your feet. So they're still like a 50 mil can kind of do everything as well. You just have to move around a lot more.
It's not the same. Zooming with your feet is not the same as shooting at 105 though.
Right. So definitely after, you know, seeing that even at F7, because that was my one kind of contention with it is that, F7, like, you know, that's not really going to give me the sort of blurriness of the background that I might want at 105, but nope, that's not true at all. So there's a very nice bokeh at 105, even at an aperture of F7. So that changed my thinking for sure. So yes, I will be using this lens quite a bit going forward. Plus, it's the only RF lens that I have, and so I still think that there's a lot of benefit to using the features that come with the RF.
What was the other downside of having zoom lenses that was kicking in the pants?
I don't know. I think the knock was always the quality of the image, I think, was kind of my initial concern. And like, we just thought like, okay, like, you know, there's less things to go wrong on a prime lens, right? Like there's less elements and things that could potentially screw up your image. But I think that the technology has gotten so good and the glass is now so good that I think that's kind of been... like that's not a thing anymore. I'm not seeing it. I'm certainly not seeing it in the sample photos or hearing the pros kind of complain about it in their reviews. Like it all seems to be kind of good now. So, you know, you have a longer piece of glass a longer lens. Like that's one thing, right? And this 24 to 105 is the first lens that I have where it sort of comes out like the piece kind of telescopes out, which I'm not used to that, so I don't.
Mine does as well, though.
I don't. That's the first one I have like that. I don't love that, but again, it's not a deal breaker or anything. Nope. But other than that, I'm like it's just they're just good now.
They are good now. See, back in the day, which wasn't too many days ago, actually. You know, like when you're shooting with like say the 40D and like it's kind of low light. Well, you're like, all right, ISO 1600 is okay, but if I want to get anything decent, I'm going to need to shoot it like a wide open. I need an F1.8 here. Forget depth of field. You just need more light.
Right.
Well, with improved ISO, is that going to change the style of your photography?
No. Now you've got that ISO allows you to do so much more, even though
that's what I'm saying. It will change it, but it gives you a lot more, now you don't have to worry about, okay, now I need to shoot at an f1.4 because it's so dark. You can actually push the ISO much higher than you ever could with the 6D, for example.
Yes. And also the fact that the camera bodies now are stabilized as well. So you're, you don't have to shoot, you know, the rule of thumb was like, okay, 200 mil lens, especially if it's unstabilized, you can't shoot anything less than a shutter speed of 1/200th of a second. That's not true. I tested that with this camera. It's like, you can shoot it on whatever you want. Like the stabilization is really good. So if you're not a statue, you can still get very usable images at 1/60th of a second with that same lens. So yeah, all of this stuff is now, because the camera bodies have gotten so better, it's definitely, you're not so limited by the capabilities of the lenses.
So will you take advantage of the zoom lens now? Like, what I'm saying is, are you done being a snob?
No. Oh, no, no. I'm never done being a snob. But in this case, yes, yes. I'm always going to be a snob. But no, in this case, there's no reason to be a snob about lenses. I'm like, yeah, the camera bodies are so good. You can pretty much use any lens that fits on your camera.
Because I my 24-105, like I said, I bought it for a very specific reason and I take photos with it now and then. But I've used it so much lately, especially for the video that I've been shooting, that it's going to see a lot of stills being taken with it too. Like I might be done being a zoom lens, a prime lens snob, Adam. I might be done.
Yeah. Well, again, it's good to be a master of all lenses, Al.
Yeah, no, I can. That's not the point. I always a master of all things, obviously. But you know what I prefer? It's like, well, no. We want to go with the cine primes, of course. Or you can just be good at what you do. So, I thought about it. Even now, it's really rare that I shoot below an f4. So mine's an f4 all the way through. My L lens, like, now obviously considerably cheaper than the L lenses for the RF. So I think these ones, I bought mine used, so I forget what it was. It was less than the sticker price, which was around $600-700 or something like that at the time. Sure. Maybe, yeah. No, it might have been around 800.
Yeah, I think it was around $800. Yeah.
So still half the price of what you're looking at. So, you know, I rarely shoot below an F4 anyways. So this thing might get a lot more stick time when I leave the house. Like it might be the only camera, the only lens I bring with me a number of for a while.
Okay.
So I'm that excited by it. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Zoom lens. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I had one note like this before, just talking about zoom lenses. Cause last minute I had the 70-200 at the hockey rink and last minute the coach is like, oh, I really need a team photo, for, you know, entry into our next tournament. You know, would you take that? And I'm like, oh man, I wish I had like a wider angle lens. All I got is the 70-200, but as a testament to ISO and how great these cameras are and versatility, like we're talking about, I'm like, yeah, sure. So I shot it at 70 mil, which means I got to shoot with that lens to make sure that there's enough depth that everyone's in focus. I went to like an F7 or something and then I got a backup because it's 70 mils and you got a lot of people in the shot. So at F7, like you saw in the other photo, the rink was even darker. So I think I shot F7 ISO 8,000 on the team shot with 1/250th or something like that of a second. So all those parameters. So again, kind of really up against it for the 70-200, right? Photo looks amazing. Like I wish I could post it, but I need a lot of permissions, but I'm just amazed at, like, I would have never even dreamt of doing that on the 60. I'd be like, no, I can't do that with this, with this setup. So
I'll just draw you a sketch on a bar napkin. That'll be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I could do.
So anyways, high ISO things are good now.
All right. Hey, we're done. We're done. Do something else now. With the cameras, guys. You're good. Figure out something else. Figure out how to make me like look like less of a jerk.
Okay. All right.
Is there a filter for that?
Yeah, there is. Douche filter. Yeah.
Yeah. we'll try to Google that. All right. monthly challenge for this month is change. Hashtag that to Hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers on the Instagram. Even better, do both and tag us at Two Hosers. And we will check that out. Challenge for next week, Adam. I got one. I think you're going to be thrilled. Just thrilled.
I can't wait. Yeah.
What have you not used in some time?
Is that the challenge?
No, no. I'm leading you into it.
I don't know.
What have you not used and you should be using it in the next couple weeks?
What have I not used that I should be using?
Well, toothbrush, obviously.
Yeah, that too. Mid deodorant? Would it be deodorant?
Yeah, deodorant. Uh-huh.
All right. Would it be soap?
No.
Okay, what is it?
Smoke machine.
Oh, yeah, it is that time of year.
I thought you'd get that. Halloween
smoke machine. Yeah, sure.
Okay, but a fog machine, technically fog machine.
But wait, I need to use it between now and next week?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't have to, but if you want to come in second again, then you don't. Don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe fog machine.
See if you can out-debag me.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that'd be nice. By next week, I could probably use a break. I'll be honest with you. I'm anticipating taking a beating on this one.
Okay, I hope so.
Not in the face, though. Obviously, that's the moneymaker, so stay away from that.
Yeah.
All right, so fog machine for next week. Adam, website, still doing the Instagram. And you've been chatting with people. Adam will chat with you if you send him a DM.
I never post, though. Like, that's another thing. I keep thinking, oh, I should post some of the hockey pictures, and then another week goes by, and I don't. My wife probably posts a few things. And then tags me. I don't know if people see the stuff that my wife posts and then tags me in. I don't know how any of it works.
Look who you're talking to.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe anybody who sends me a direct message, I might respond depending on whether I feel like it. So yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
Do that. DM him on it was on the two hosers. You DM'd him, I think. I'm not sure how that works, if you have to get permission or not. I don't know.
And I do look at Instagram maybe twice a week. And then I do look at the listener photos and sort of, sometimes like them, mostly just peruse them. So I see you out there, people. I see what you're doing. Good job. Everyone's doing great work.
Great work, everybody. Okay. Yeah. You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com. The two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.